Well, here we are, Sam. The collab that everyone has been waiting for. Wobble and Jaw Sports and All Out NRL Fantasy. How are we, mate?
Hello, I'm in the All Out Club. This is fantastic, mate. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm a fan of what you do. You work very, very hard on your Instagram page. And as you can see, everybody, the links are just down below as well. And also your teammates as well that you collaborate with. I'm a fan and I'm genuinely very, very grateful and thankful that you've invited me on here. And I believe this is your first ever live stream, man. So thank you. Thank you. This is great.
No, yeah, it is my first live stream indeed. Look, without going into it too much, we did spend a bit of time off stream going into this, maybe a bit too much time, but we're here and let's get into the games, eh?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a tricky weekend to try and predict, but that's half the fun, man. So let's get stuck in.
Let's get stuck in. All right, we can go into how we've been going over the previous few rounds later in the piece. But let's get on to the Thursday night clash or tomorrow night's clash, the Roosters taking on the Panthers. Ooh, can't wait. We'll go through the teams here first. So the Roosters line up as such. We've got Tedesco at the back on the wing. We've got Tupou and Dom Young. In the centers, we've got Sualii and Joey Manu. In the halves, we've got Luke Keary and Sam Walker. The props are Terrell May and Waria Hargreaves. Brandon Smith is the hooker. Back rowers are Butcher and Tupanua with Radley at lock. And on the bench, we've got Watson, White, Butcher, and Angus Crichton. On the Penny Panthers, we've got Dylan Edwards at the back. Wingers are Taruva and To'o. Tago and May are the centers. Luai and Schneider, no Cleary, huge omission there. The props are Moses Leota and Lindsay Smith. Hooker is Mitch Kenny. Back rowers are Luke Garner and Liam Martin. And the lock is Isaiah Yeo. We've got Laurie, Eisenhuth, Henry, and Guy on the bench. And look, Sam, what are you thinking, mate? Where do you think this one is going?
Well, first of all, the odds have swung dramatically over the past few days with some of the news that's come out. As you just touched on, the big one that Mr. Cleary is out. We've got the Sydney Roosters sitting at approximately $2.60. No, $1.60.
A
and
dollar
Panthers,
sixty, yep.
$1.60. Panthers are $2.35. When was the last time we saw the Penrith Panthers out by that much? That's incredible. There's a milestone in this game, by the way. It's
Yeah.
the 100th edition of Panthers versus the Roosters this weekend, and it is the Roosters who have a 46 to 42 lead. There's a draw in there. Penrith, they've won 8 in a row against the Roosters,
Yep.
9 of the past 10. Easts last beat Penrith back in 2019, and since 2021, 4 of the past 6 have been decided by 13 plus. But I don't think 13 plus is going to happen this Thursday. I think we are in for a 1 to 12 sort of a game. Also, if you're interested in a try scorer, Brian To'o has scored a try in each of his past 3 matches against the Sydney Roosters. So Brian To'o's got some try scoring form against the Roosters, man. This is arguably the game of the round. There is a matchup that I'm really salivating over the thought of. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm certain that Brian To'o and Dominic Young are going to be lining up against one another, man. That's going to be a fascinating one-on-one match. And then you've got the aspirants for the New South Wales Blues fullback position. So you imagine Michael Maguire will be watching Dylan Edwards and James Tedesco like a hawk this Thursday night.
Yeah, no, I agree. I personally can't wait for the matchup between Dom Young and To'o. It is going to be some matchup. And also, just to touch on as well with a few stats that Roosters the last well scored 110 points in their past 3 games at Allianz Stadium, and they've also conceded 20 points or more in their part of the Roosters. This is have conceded 20 points or more in their past 8 games against the Panthers.
Yeah,
Taruva, oh, you keep going. You go. What were you going to say?
No, that just does lean into the fact that Penrith, just that they have dominated. They've dominated the boys from Bondi since really the year 2019, really.
Yeah, no, that is very, very correct, Sam. Taruva, 8 tries in his past 7 games, just like you touched on with To'o. That's some pretty good numbers for the other side, for the other winger from Penrith there as well.
Yep.
But let's cut to the chase, Sam. What are we thinking? Who are you going with? And who's your bet?
All right. That back line for the Sydney Roosters is untouched, basically. It is a supreme back line up against a bruised, a very big bruised back line for the Penrith Panthers. The forward pack is still strong for the Roosters. But look, man, they have just built up so much goodwill. And the fact that Brad Schneider, this young man, we've seen the Panthers do things without Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai in certain spits and spurts over the past few seasons. And it's just next man up mentality, and they've succeeded. Brad Schneider's got a massive opportunity to stamp his foot onto the NRL universe this Thursday night, primetime footy. And think about what he did in the Super League only 6 months ago. He debuted for Hull KR and had them win in his first game. I don't think they won the Challenge Cup, but that's neither here nor there sort of thing. Brad Schneider has got a massive opportunity ahead of him. The Panthers have proven that they can do it without Nathan Cleary. It's just Brad Schneider's turn. I'm going to trust in him because he did the damn thing for Hull KR in his first game. Ooh. So I'm going to go the Panthers to win 1-12 this Thursday night.
1-12 with the Penny Panthers. Wow, I was not expecting that, Sam. I'm actually going to go against you. Sorry, mate.
Excellent.
I think that just like with the team's jerseys we've got on, there's going to be a few clashes. But look, for me, I'm leaning towards the Roosters. I think at home, I just think that even though Schneider, like you said, obviously performed in the Super League, but just for me, I just think that the NRL is a different kettle of fish. And I'm going 1-12 with the Roosters. I think with that, the back line, Keary's back this week. Look, I know some Roosters fans were not happy that Keary was back. They thought their attack was a lot better without Keary in the side, with just Sam Walker and Sandon Smith. Obviously, Sandon Smith's out injured for a few weeks. So unfortunately for them, that's not going to be the case. Keary's going to be there. But yeah, I'm just looking at that Roosters side, and I'm looking at the Penrith side, and I'm leaning towards the Chooks, 1-12. Do we move on to the next game, mate?
Yeah, man. Just quickly, I want to say that there's a couple of people in the live chat that are just saying today, and we both want to thank you for tuning in to All Out Club's first ever live stream. So thank you very much. And we'll try and talk to the chat as the stream does continue, but we've got to get into the next game.
Yeah, no. I was going to mention that. As I said, I did see the question, but I was going to leave it for the when we actually come to that game with the Broncos, because they're Walsh and Haas and Carrigan. I guess, like, Teddy, if you want to touch on that, I think that Tedesco is a great trade-in this week. But, yeah, let's move to the next game. We'll obviously monitor that. Sorry, Sam, I should have mentioned that. But let's move on to the Good Friday clash in the Friday afternoon with the Rabbitohs versus the Bulldogs. Just quickly, Sam, before we go into this, did you before the season expect the Rabbitohs to be 0-3?
That's a negative.
Do you think that JD's on some, like, you know, it could be his time could be up?
So how do I say this? JD, Jason Demetrio, if he was at any other club, he'd be given another 18 months. But South Sydney are such a massive club, and they've had years and years of preliminary final success. That they demand success, and I don't think they'll muck around too long with Jason Demetrio if this goes on for another 4 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, no. As you said, just from last season, I think like then they've come out over the off season and said that they've addressed the issues that saw them spiral out of contention at the back end of last year. But it just doesn't look like those issues have been rectified, because it's obviously been a horrible start. Not off, like off the top of my head, I think Souths have conceded a ridiculous amount of points over three rounds. I think they're over the 120 already conceded. Anyway, let's move on. Let's stop bagging Souths and let's move on to the game, eh? Because they actually might be a chance in this one. All right, let's go through the Bunnies. So we got Latrell Mitchell at the back, Johnston and Milne on the wings, Whiten and Tass in the centers. The halves are Walker and Hawkins, no Ilias. Still, even though he absolutely killed it in New South Wales Cup on the weekend. Tavita Totola and Thomas Burgess are the props. Damian Cook is the hooker. The second rowers are Keon Kulamatungi and Jacob Host, and Cam Murray is the lock. Cheekam, Duncan, Mitchell and Mwale are the bench. And we'll move on to the Doggies quickly, and then Sam can hit us with some stats. At fullback for the Doggies, we've got Blake Taff, Wilson and Tracy are the wingers. Karaz and Crichton are the centers. Matt Burton and Drew Hutchison are the halves. The props are King and Knight. Hooker is Reid Marnie. The back row is Viliami Kikau and Jacob Preston, and Jamin Salmon is at lock. The bench is Mann, Hughes, Curran and Morin. And take it away, Wobble and Jaw, with some stats, Matt.
Well, this isn't a stat, but just keep in mind that the Fox Josh Shadow Carr is on the reserves there in jersey number 23. So
he was last week as well.
Yeah, true. But so he might be a late inclusion for the Doggies this weekend. This will be the 169th game between the Rabbits and the Bulldogs, and it's still very, very close. It's 84-80 with four draws in there. Canterbury, they broke a five-game losing streak against South Sydney just last year, which dated back to the year 2020. So it has been South Sydney since the 2014 grand final, having won 12 of the past 18 matches against the Bulldogs. Canterbury, they haven't won a match they haven't won a Good Friday match since 2017 against the South Sydney Rabbitohs, man. And the Good Friday record between the Rabbits and the Bulldogs is 8-3 in favour of South Sydney. I'm at a crossroads with the Rabbitohs, because if I tip them and they lose door, I'm going to have to hop off them. But I guarantee you, if I do, they'll go on a six-game winning streak starting from next week. So
what if you don't tip them, they're going to go on a streak?
Exactly. It's just whatever I'm going to do, I need to try and make the right decision, because if I don't, I'm just going to be in a state of flux for the rest of the season with the South Sydney Rabbitohs, man. Credit to the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, though, bro, because I don't think they've played bad in 2024.
No, they've definitely been so much better, in my opinion. Absolutely. Like, you look at the. I think it was, I can't remember exactly who it was on Fox League, if it was Mick Innes or someone, Braithen Astor. I can't exactly remember, but they were saying, you know, like the Dogs of old, I think it might have been Gordon Tallis actually said that the Dogs of old would have lost that game by like 40 or 50 points. And that, you know, as you said, they've only won the one game, but it's not like they've been completely blown out of the contest, or, you know what I mean? Like not even in the contest at all. They just, I don't know. I think that they just, you know, obviously a fair few players. I can't remember how many, but they brought in a ridiculous amount of players into the club this season. I think that's just going to take some time. And yeah, obviously last week we saw a great performance from them. Not that, I didn't pick it in that nature, but I did pick the Dogs to beat the Titans.
Likewise.
But look, just quickly, Sam, just to go back to some stats, like you said, with the Good Friday games, the Rabbitohs have actually won their five past Good Friday games against the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs are actually aiming for back-to-back wins for the first time in more than a year, which was round 2 and 3 from last year. The Rabbitohs, as we touched on at the start of this game, they've conceded an average of more than 37 points a game. And like you said, I don't know. Like, what do you think? If Adokar does come in, who is he coming in for?
I hope it's not bloody Wilson, but it probably will be. I really like the cut of the jib of young Wilson out there on the sting, but I think he will make way for the Fox if such is the case. I don't think we touched on the odds. Rabbitohs are $1.53, yeah, and the Bulldogs are $2.51. That's a nice bit of meat on the bone if you want to go for the Dogs. I think it's a hell of a lot closer than what the odds indicate, Dor. And I... bugger it. I'm not going to tip the Bulldogs. I'm going to go the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I think the Gold Coast Titans, man, they will get to them. They were deplorable. Whilst South Sydney had been bad, that was another level below. And I'm going to go the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I think, hey, it's Good Friday. The Bunnies are all out this weekend, whether it's Easter round or it's the Bunnies. I think it's the weekend of the Bunny, mate. I think the Rabbitohs get their first win of the year on Good Friday.
1 to 12 or 13 plus or just the Rabbitohs head to head?
Yeah, no. While recent history indicates that it's usually 13 plus, besides the Dogs winning their last game against them last season, I am going to go 1 to 12. I think the Dogs, I've said it all season long so far, that they're going to be a hard team to beat. They might lose for 13 plus every now and then, but it won't be extravagant like the game against the Sharks 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to go South Sydney 1 to 12.
Yeah, look, it is also quickly, just before I give my tip, it's Jacob Host's 100th NRL game. So congratulations to you, Hosty. But look, I agree with you, mate. I'm going to go with the Bunnies. I'm going to go the Bunnies 13 plus. I think that the Bunnies are going to actually, this is going to be the game. If it isn't, well, look, you can blame Sam and I for cursing them. But look, I think that they're going to bounce back. They've got to come good eventually. They've got way too many good, you know, or star players, you know, Murray, Luttrell, now Whiten's back, you know, obviously played his debut or first game for the Bunnies last season. He'll be a lot better for it this week. So yeah, I'm going the Bunnies 13 plus. Anything you want to touch on more on the Bunnies and Dogs, Sam, or do you reckon we move on to the, you know, these two teams that we're wearing jerseys of?
Next.
Let's get to it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Queensland Derby, the Broncos taking on the Cowboys. And as you can see, I'm supporting my lovely Broncos and Sam's supporting his Cowboys. Let's get to the teams, eh? Should we, Sammy?
Hold on. Can you sniff that door? Can you, what? Can what you have I sniffed? Sniff the whiff that's in the air at the moment, door?
What, the Cowboys smell, are on top of the
it's
table?
The smell or? Of a Cowboys ambush this Friday night, bro. In one
Is
of
it
the
an
best,
ambush, though? Is it an ambush?
Rivalries in the NRL, bro. I'm so keen. You and I are going to be there at Suncorp this Friday night. Oh, man, it could be an absolute sellout with 50,000 plus. Hopefully the rain does not affect the crowd numbers. But let's get into the team list.
Yeah, no, I was just going to quickly, before we go to that, Sam, I was just going to say, up here in Brizzy at the moment, the weather has been shocking. The last 3 days, it's basically been raining nonstop. So hopefully come Friday that we get some real good sunshine and that the game can go ahead and we have a nice dry fixture. But let's get into the teams. Look, the Broncos... God, we've got a few injuries. Anyway, let's continue on. Tristan Saylor is in at fullback after obviously that shot last week ruled out Reece Walsh. I think he'll be back in round 6. Arthurs and Mariner are on the wings. Wow, Mariner has been exceptional. He's leading the try-scoring race. this season thus far. I guess it probably puts to bed those people that were obviously going on about that, you know, Corey Oates obviously didn't get his jersey and Mariner was the one that Kevy went with. But look, Mariner's justified that decision. Stags and Cobbo are the centers. Wow, look, Cobbo, I was a bit worried about him at the centers, but geez, he's been one of our best thus far this season. Ezra Mam hasn't had his greatest start to the season, but I think he can bounce back in a big fixture. I saw some positives from him last week. Reynolds is back, which is the big one, I think, here to take away from this Broncos team list. Is having Reno back is a huge boost for us. Jensen and Baker are the props. Now, Billy Walters is at hooker. Jaden Hunt and Jordan Rickey are the back row. Obviously, Brendan Piakora was ruled out after training, rolling his ankle, I think, at training. So he could be out for up to a month. And ever reliable, Paddy Carrigan is there at the lock position. We've got Smoothie, Willison, Hetherington, and Oates. Oates is back, Sevy. He's back for the big game.
Very, very good. Very good. Oi, may I take it away?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I wanted to give it to you for the for your team, mate. So you take it away for your North Queensland Cowboys, mate.
Future Dally M 2024 medalist Scott Drinkwater is at fullback. Kyle Felt and Murray Taulagi are our wingers. Valentine Holmes and Zach Laybutt returns into the side after having the week off with a ankle sprain. Tom Dearden and Chad Townsend are our halves. McLean, Taumalolo and Robson is the front row. And congratulations to Mr. Reece Robson, who plays his 100th first grade game this Friday night. Classy on the field, and I'm sure he's even more classier off of it. Our back row, Kulikefu, Fenafuiaki, Jeremiah Nene and Ruben Cotter. Admittedly, watch this space on Ruben Cotter. There is massive suggestions that he will sit out on this game. And it's early rounds. If he has to, just do it, in my opinion. Interchange, Jake Granville, Griff Rimeem, Sam McIntyre and Jack Gajewski in there at jersey number 17. Bro, some of the stats, bro. This will be the 61st edition of the 4X Original Derby, and it's Broncos who lead 38-20 with two draws. Brisbane, they got the double over us in 2023. North Queensland got the double in 2022. Maybe it's our turn again. Maybe we're just going to keep swapping around, and maybe it's just our turn this year. Last time they played each other was up in Townsville, and the Broncos, they were in red hot touch. However, they did win that game 13+. Without Adam Reynolds at the time. So they did it really nicely.
Yeah, Josh Madden.
Yes, came in through Josh Madden.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
Payne Haas had himself an energy drink before kickoff as well, by the way. He was immeasurably impressive, mate.
Yeah,
he was huge
very good
in that game. Also in that game, Valentine Holmes and Jeremiah Nene did not play in that game where the Broncos came up and whipped us by 13+. And just, it's a credit to their attack, Brisbane, because in that game as well, Cowboys completed at 78%, 32 out of 41. The Broncos completed 67% at 29 to 43 completed sets. Such was their attack, and such, unfortunately, was the lack of our defense, because the Cowboys missed 47 tackles during that game. And while this is one of the best rivalries, I don't know why some people out there think that this is a dying rivalry or it's not a rivalry anymore. I think they need their head checked just quietly. But admittedly, four of the past six encounters between the Cowboys and Broncos have resulted in a scoreline that's gone beyond the 13+ points margin, admittedly. On Valentine Holmes' door.
Yep.
I reckon for three straight seasons now, bar one game, I think Valentine Holmes has given Katoni Staggs an absolute bath. I think he's given him an absolute bath every time he's played against him. He's got the opportunity to do so again, yet he and this entire Cowboys outfit, while they are the best attacking team in the NRL at the moment, the only team to have cracked 100 points for the year so far, the first team to do so. Valentine Holmes, the entire team defensively, they need to tighten up. They need to steel up, man. I think they'll be the first to admit that as well, Dor.
That's what my concern, Sam, like with the Cowboys, like, God, their attack's been unbelievable. But like some of the tries that they're conceding is like really, really soft. I think that if they can fix that, like the defense with that, oh man, like they're gonna go places this season. But look, you go. What were you gonna say?
Well, what I was going to say, yes, absolutely. They'll go so, so deep. They'll finish high on the ladder if they fix the defense.
Because that's what got them there in 2022. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The defense was immense.
Yep. And we've brought in this Warriors defensive coach. And so far, unfortunately, we haven't been able to see it yet. And Dean Young has gone down to the Dragons. So that we're missing a bit of Dean Young. But the thing I want to say, though, before I let you take it away, is that, no, whilst I might be acting, cocky and arrogant and stuff like that, you know, just for a bit of fun, dude, I'm totally weary about this Brisbane Broncos outfit. Adam Reynolds back. Ezra Mann, it's set up for them to go absolutely insane in this contest. But every time we've seen Tristan Saylor, he's just absolutely floored the entire rugby league universe. So while it's not a like-for-like replacement with Reece Walsh, who's insane himself, I fear what Tristan Saylor could do with Reynolds and Mann, but the big concern for you, obviously, is Mr. Payne Haas not playing this weekend. Yeah.
No, I do agree. Like, Saylor's not going to be Walsh. You don't want any player to try and, you know, replicate or try and be the same as someone else. Like, Saylor came in last year. I remember against the Warriors, he came in and I was at all. See, I didn't think we were any chance of the game without Walsh. But Saylor came in and I'm pretty sure he got man of the match. He was absolutely incredible. In that performance. And obviously, as we've seen thus far this season, Ezra Mam hasn't really, he's been quite, I'd say, quiet for his standards. Obviously, in the lead up to the season, had an injury and obviously missed the preseason or most of it. So came in a bit underdone as well. And then obviously we had that incident that happened over in Vegas, which I don't think's helped at all. But hopefully Ezra can bounce back in this fixture. He scored 3 tries in 2 games against the Cowboys last year. And also, just on those Cowboys, mate, your Cows, they're aiming for their first 4-0 start since 2007.
Yep.
So look, let's get to it, mate. Look, I'm wearing Broncos kit. It'd be rude for me to actually tip the Cowboys, but I am going to I'm going the Bronx, but I'm going 1-12. Look, 1-12. Look, I don't even know if you can go 13 plus in a fixture like this. Like when they're always so close, like they're always great games. So Broncos 1-12. I think that Saylor will do an immense job. I think he'll do a great job for us there. And then my only concern is, like you said, with the forwards, but having Reynolds back is absolutely huge. I think he can spark our attack. And what I've seen from the Cowboys defense, basically the opening 3 rounds of the season, I think we can score some points and I back our defense to be a lot better than the sides that the Cowboys have come up against thus far this season. So 1-12 Broncos for me. I'll stop rambling and you take the floor, mate.
No, you're not rambling at all, man. So the other big exclusion for your boys as well is Brendan Piakouris. So in my opinion, Valentine Holmes has had the wood over Katoni Staggs. Brendan Piakouris, correct me if I'm wrong, he does defend next to Katoni Staggs as well. So without Piakouris in, Jaden Hunt in, with all due respect, Hunt is a face, a name that I'm very much not familiar with. So I might be this by the end of Friday. Touchwood, I'm not, though.
He came down from the Dragons. Sam, I was just going to say he's just come down from the Dragons. He hasn't really played that much. He's had a few appearances.
So Jeremiah Nene is lining up on him.
Yep.
Jeremiah Nene, I think he's getting still a little bit too harsh criticism thrown at him. I think he has shown some really nice touches defensively, even though the entire defensive unit has cracked a bit too much to start the year. I think Nene is showing some really nice touches. But the past 2 weeks, after he set the bar really, really high in round number one, he's just sort of come back down to earth a little bit. So I'm really hoping that Val, Nene, that edge, they dominate this weekend. Actually, I'm thinking maybe it might be on the other edge now that I'm thinking of it. Either way, whoever's lining up on Jaden Hunt, whether it be Finifuiaki or Nene, we need one of those two gentlemen to be lining up on him. They're both weapons, man. So obviously, at $1.80.
Yeah, we didn't. Yes, the Cowboys.
$1.81 about the Cowboys. The Broncos are sitting at $2.04. The Cowboys' form at Suncorp has not been too bad at all in recent seasons. I think there's something like 5 of the past 7 games they've won at Suncorp, even though they haven't beaten the Broncos there since 2022. So, dude, Cowboys, 13 plus. They're going to win 13 plus. Oh. We're going to have some horse meat for dinner on Good Friday. Millions of people around the world, they go vegetarian or eat fish on Good Friday. F that door. I'm going to have myself a good slab of horse ass this freaking Friday night, bro. It's going to be delicious. I cannot wait for the game, and I hope we get a dry track as well.
Yeah, that's. I think the biggest thing is, I think for the contest, it deserves to have a dry track. It'd be a shame, I guess. It'd probably take away a bit from the spectacle, I guess, if it was very wet. But look, we've spoken a fair bit about this already. We might as well move on to the next game because we've got plenty of other great games happening this weekend, this Easter weekend. So let's move on to the Saturday afternoon game. The Dragons taking on the Manly Sea Eagles. We'll go through the sides first of all, and then we can hit with some odds and stats. Sloan at fullback, and we've got Lomax and Ravalawa on the wing. Look, just quickly on Lomax, he is, he obviously isn't happy playing on the wing, but boy, he's playing well. I don't know if he's trying to, play himself into another club, at another position, or trying to, show that he deserves to be, playing center or fullback. But wow, I've been very impressed with Lomax. Do you want to quickly touch on anything from Lomax, Sam, or do you want me to continue?
The best form that I've seen him in his entire career, even though he's been spanked, his team's been spanked 2 out of the 3 games to start the year, I still think Lomax has been great, and he is showing Origin-esque kind of form that had Brad Fittler say that he's in line one day.
Yeah, no, I do agree, mate. We've got Suli and Bird in the centres. The halves are Flanagan and Ben Hunt. A few players back for the Dragons this week. Molo returns from suspension in that game that we saw Sam and Sunday a couple of weeks ago. So does Little, who obviously got a HIA in that game as well. Blake Laurie is the other prop forward. The back rowers are Leilua and Sua. And Eisenhuth actually pushes Jack DeBellin to the bench, which I was a bit surprised by. So, yeah, you've got DeBellin, Marski, Sele, and Fatala Mariner on the bench. To Manly, I'm pretty sure they're 1-17. I will go through it quickly, though. Turbo at the back, and they've got, if I pronounce this wrong, I'm very sorry, Tuimalalo Vega. Sam, do you know, is that any good? No good?
Maybe one too many L's, mate.
One too many L's? All right. I apologize. Jackson Paulo is the other man on the wing. Toletau Kula and Ruben Garrick are the centers. Luke Brooks, wow, he's, looking a buy of the season potentially thus far. He's had a great start to the year. And Daly Cherry Evans are the halves. Paseka and Josh Alloway are the props with Lachlan Croker at hooker. Ola Kawatu and Ben Trbojevic are the second rowers with Jake at lock. Launton, Waddell, Bully Moore, and Nathan Brown round out the 17 on the bench there. Sam, what stats have you got for me this game, mate?
So the Dragons are the bogey side of the Manly Sea Eagles, but the bookies don't have it that way. At the moment, the Dragons are $3.34. Sea Eagles are $1.33 favourites. I think that is fair. This will be the 35th match between the two clubs, and it is the Dragons who lead 22-12. Manly, they last played at Wollongong last season and got their first victory at the venue since the year 2003. A lot of people have got a bit of stigma's maybe not the right word, but they're still a little bit tripped out about that stat. And some people are thinking maybe there is an upset on the cards. This most of this Manly Sea Eagles unit played at that game last season. Luke Brooks has had some success there as well. I think the Monkeys well and truly off the back. And with that loss as well, off goes another Monkey. The Manly Sea Eagles were still good. They were still
They were still good. I agree.
Against Parramatta.
I
think now that they've got that first loss, now that they've been punched in the face and they know they need to improve and that they're back to reality, watch this space because the Dragons have been leaking like a sieve themselves. I'm going to go Manly 13 plus in this game, Dor.
Manly 13 plus. Yeah, I was going to say, like you said, the Dragons have been leaking a few points. They've actually conceded 84 points in their past two games. So some other milestones, Sam, as well, that Ruben Garrick is 2 points away from 1,000 NRL points.
Wow.
Yeah. Daily Cherry Evans will equal Clippy Lyons' record of 309 appearances for the Manly Sea Eagles.
Oh, wow, that's huge.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Ravalawa has scored 9 tries in his past 8 games at Wynn Stadium. And the last one, which is not, well, look, I'm leaning towards Manly anyway for other reasons, but the Dragons have only won 1 of their past 6 games at Wynn Stadium.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, the Manly are $1.33 favourites and the Dragons are $3.34 outsiders. Yep. Look, ride me home. Take me with that like an eagle, mate. $1.33. I'm going Manly 13 plus and I'm going with it strong, mate.
Big time.
Sorry, Red V fans. I guess we should just quickly, Sam, before we move on to the next game, we've got a few people in the chat saying hello. Michael Jones, hello to you. Peter Bulldogs saying hello to you, Sam. You want to say hello back?
Sorry. I gave him the salute. Sorry.
Oh, I see. Vegemite and Toast is he's not liking your Cowboys 13 plus. He's going Broncos by 40.
Rude. Very rude.
And I believe your mum is saying hello and go the Cowboys.
Hey, mum. Love you, mum.
I thought your mum was a Raiders fan.
She's just back in her son.
Yeah, no, that's oh, look, I'm not having a go at it, mate. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Just I was expecting go the Raiders. Speaking of the Raiders, we will get to them shortly, but let's move on to the late Saturday night game, mate. After, like we just touched on before, the Titans, they were whatever you want to call it, insipid, diabolical, putrid. Oh, they weren't good, but hopefully they can bounce back with a stronger performance this week. Let's go into their side. Jaden Campbell is back, Sam, at fullback, a huge inclusion for the Titans. The rest of the back lines are pretty similar. Cam Pereira is on the wings with Sammy Brimson, should I say, and Kelly, the center partners. Foran and Tanner Boyd are the halves. Fotowaker and Palacia are the props. Chris Randall is the hooker. Cleese Haas and Bo Firma are the second rowers. Jamin Jolliffe is the lock. The bench consists of Verrills, Liu, Clark, and Stimson. And just something to touch on as well is David Fifita is lurking as the 18th man. What do you think quickly, Sam, before we go into the Dolphins? Do you think he's a chance to come in as a late inclusion for the Titans, or do you think that they might play it cautiously and give him another week off?
Yeah, chance, sure, but vibes telling me no. I think he's going to sit out one more week.
I agree, mate. I'm with you. I think they'll give him one more week, and then he'll come back and start and Haas will move back to the bench potentially, and Stimson back to 18th man like last week. Onto the Dolphins. Not too many changes here from that team that you and I saw absolutely take the Dragons to, well, just absolutely destroy them. Anyway, Hammer is at the back. Sam, big fan of the Hammer.
Massive, mate. I'd throw the bank at him still today. Goodness
to bring
gracious.
Him back, bring him home.
Oh, mate. Even though we got a Dalian medalist for 2024 at fullback still. Oh, just, oh, boy, howdy. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, quickly on my Daily M, 2024 Daily M, he unfortunately got injured last week. I'm thinking Reese Walsh would get it, and unfortunately he's got injured, so he's not going to be getting some points for some weeks, so that's unfortunate. But anyway, we've got Asako and Bostock on the wings for the Dolphins. We've got Avarillo and Farnworth are the centers. Cody Nikorima and Isaiah Katoa are the halves, obviously. Katoa played against the Dragons for his first game for this season. And I think it took both of us by surprise with Sean O'Sullivan being dropped. But wow, Katoa was exceptional in that game against the Dragons. And I see him going very well in this clash as well. Yep. Bromwich and Flegler are the props, sorry. And Marshall King is the hooker. We've got Kafusi and Aiken in the back row. And Plath at lock. The bench consists of Kerr, Donahue, Nichols, and Ray Stone is back from his concussion. What have you got for us, Sam? What stats have you got for us, mate?
Well, look, just because the Dolphins are new, there's not too much between these two sides and whatnot. But at the moment, Sportsbet have the Dolphins at $1.63. The Gold Coast Titans are a respectable $2.28. So maybe there's a little bit of distrust in the Dolphins from a lot of punters out there. This will be the third match between the two, and the Titans have never defeated the Dolphins to this stage as of yet. Ray Stone plays his 50th first grade game as well this weekend. I don't know how to feel about this game, man. I really don't. I kind of agree with how Sportsbet have got the odds. I do think that there's a sniff about them. The Dolphins did take on a gutless Dragons outfit. The Titans, well, I don't think I remember seeing such a poor performance, to be honest with you, man. Maybe the Tigers
it was one
put
of the
up
worst.
Something last, but it was truly, it was don't give a bugger factor. True, don't give a bugger factor about the Titans last weekend. Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw some Titans fans on social media saying it was the worst game that they've ever seen in the club's history last weekend.
That's a massive call, bro, with all due respect.
Yeah, no, I do agree.
They've played some poor performances in the history.
But it just shows how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like it was up there with, you know, those bad games. Continue with what you were saying, bro.
If Jaden Campbell had some minutes under his belt, and I know he played last weekend in the Hoss Plus
Cup. Played a half.
Yep. I still think he's going to be incredibly rusty and maybe not as efficient as what he could be in a month's time. This Dolphins outfit, they've had a fantastic win. They've had the bye, they're going to be fresh as a daisy coming into this contest door. So I've got to lean towards the Dolphins. I'm going to say 13 plus. Sorry, Titans fans. I do think the Titans will be
better.
Fiery. I think they'll be better, but I mean, they were down here and they'll probably be a little bit better. You know what I mean? Like, and that's me trying to be a smartass. I'm sorry. Like, it was that bad. I think the Titans will give them a fight for the first couple of rounds. And then I think they're just going to run away with it. Well, the Dolphins.
Yeah, no. Look, the stats aren't good for the Titans. Look, the Titans have won only one of their past four games at Seabus. The Titans have scored only one try in their opening two games. It's the Dolphins won both games against the Titans by 2 points in 2023. the only positive I've got here is Khan Pereira has scored 9 tries in his past 12 games at Cbus. But yeah, look, I'm with you. I think that the odds like aren't really like don't really justify. I think it's going to be very one-sided. I do agree with you with Dolphins 13 plus. I was thinking the Dolphins would be like $1. I think there's a bit of value there for Dolphins at $1.63. I thought they'd be somewhere in the $1.40s, I'm thinking, and Titans would be close to $2.50, $2.75 or something like that. Yep. But yeah, Dolphins 13 plus for me. Unfortunately, just for the Titans, I think that it's, you know, Tino obviously did his ACL last week, we should bring up, which is just absolutely, terrible news for the Titans. It just seems like they just can't take a break. Obviously, Campbell's coming back this week, but it's just been, you know, and another thing also to touch on is just like Fifita's contract. He's got an option in his favor that, you know, if the Titans obviously really go bad this season, that he could just decide that, no, I'm going to take that option and go elsewhere.
Dude, you got to think that before the June 30 deadline, I think they've got to go in the market for someone. And I must give the flowers towards Bloke in a Bar and Rugby League Guru. They did mention that, boy, there's a plethora of forwards down in Canberra. And I can't help but agree, man. There is someone down there in Canberra, like Corey Horsburgh is 19th man at the moment and has been for 2 weeks, bro. Like, Titans should consider one of those massive forwards down in Canberra or elsewhere, obviously. The Titans need to go in the market and look for a player swap, or I don't know, they probably can't even swap anybody, such as the roster and such are the performances, man. So they just need to hope maybe they got enough cash to lure someone up and say, look, can we have your services for one season or something or other? I'm not going to give too much thought about Dave DeFifita's contract options. We've only just gotten over that hurdle, and that hurdle was about 12 to 14 months long. So I'm not going to think too much more about Dave DeFifita.
Very fair, Matt.
It would be a disaster, to say the very least. So, we're both going for Dolphins.
Yep, Dolphins 13 plus, mate. Well, quickly, we've got a question I guess we'll quickly answer before the next game, mate. Who's the most overrated player in the comp?
Oh, man. Dude, I'm seeing it too, mate. I'm seeing some some huge names that just don't. Oh, man. Dude, I don't. This is your first ever live stream.
I don't
want to stink the booty mate, to someone on the first live stream, mate.
Give us a couple of names. Is there you don't want to give any?
Oh, dude, I think maybe Chow Malolo's a bit overrated. Maybe he could do some more work. He needs to prove himself, and you know, hopefully he has a really good year this year, mate. Hopefully he'll kick some fucking ass this year.
I think it's the injury hasn't helped.
I'm joking. I was being sarcastic. He's not overrated.
Well, look, I wouldn't say he's overrated.
But you dare go down that path with me, young man. Don't you dare.
We'll save this for another podcast.
Yeah, don't you dare. Let's move on. Yeah. Let's move on.
Well, look, Vegemite saying Tamalolo is a great shout.
Jesus Christ. Jesus.
Oh, you've done yourself a misjustice there, Sam. Oh,
I've dug my own grave, haven't I?
Oh, look, let me try and quickly think of something. Obviously you don't mean Tamalolo, but you've thrown it out there. I'm just trying to quickly think of a name that's bloody, you know. Look, let me think of it while we continue. And I'll give us a name by the end of the podcast because I don't want to stew on it for too long and just stall the progress and momentum that we've got at the moment. So let's move on to the Warriors versus the Knights, Sam. Let's go through the side. So Tua Peake obviously got a HIA last week and unfortunately failed. So we'll see Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who was the man that actually moved in to replace Tua Peake last week, have a game at fullback. It's looking like Chan's CNK should be back next week. If not next week, the week after, round 5 to 6, I think the Warriors are saying. So RTS will probably move back to the centers when that occurs. We've got DWZ and Marcelo Montoya as the wingers for the Waz. And we've got Rocco Berry and Adam Pompey comes in from 18th man to finally get a game this season.
Yep.
Luke Metcalf, wow, he's been exceptional for the Warriors and obviously been rewarded with a new 2-year contract. So congrats, Luke. And then he is partnered with Sean Johnson in the halves. We've got Adam Fanua-Blake and Mitch Barnett are the props. Wade Egan at hooker. We've got Jackson Ford and Kurt Capewell in the back row and the ever-reliable Tohu Harris at lock. The bench consists of Freddie Lussick, Nia Kore, who comes back for his first game this season, Warriors favorite Bunty Afoa, and Dylan Walker on the bench. The Knights have Kalen Ponga at the back. The Daily M, actually, that's something to take away from this game. The so-called man that was robbed. Obviously, you know, I thought it was going to be Sean Johnson as well, but some people, obviously a lot of people thought he was robbed. But I don't think you can take away the fact that Kalen Ponga last season was just incredible and picked up those major points for so many games because he just single-handedly won Newcastle so many games down that stretch. Obviously, they made an incredible run into the finals last year, and that was probably one of my games of the season, actually. We're getting a bit off topic, but that Knights, was it Knights-Raiders final?
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible. But anyway, Jenkins and Tuala are on the wings. Gagai and Best are in the centers. We've got Gamble and Cogger in the halves. Jackson Hastings, unfortunately, misses out again. Just like Ilias, by reports, he was absolutely incredible in New South Wales Cup on the weekend. I think he might have had 5 try assists. I think I might have heard that. I could be wrong, but I did hear that he absolutely killed it. Saifidi brothers, Jacob and Daniel, are the props. Phoenix Crosland is at hooker. We've got Frizzell and the English import Kai Pierce-Paul in the back row. Adam Elliott is at lock. Jaden Brayley, great to see him get through the game last week without getting injured. Just hope he can play the rest of this season without getting injured because the poor bloke's just had a horrid run of injuries. So hopefully for Brayley, this is one of many games this season. Matt Croker, Hetherington, and Brody Jones round out the interchange, should I say, for the Newcastle Knights semi, mate. What stats have you got for me?
Warriors are $1.43. Newcastle yep. at $2.82. This will be the 50th. This will be the 50th match between the Warriors and the Knights, and they cannot split themselves. It's 24 wins apiece with a draw in the history as well. So someone takes the head-to-head record by the end of Sunday. And I think the Newcastle Knights may even drift into the $3 range as well, closer Ooh. To game time, just quietly. Newcastle, they've won, admittedly, though, against the Warriors. Admittedly, they've won 4 of the past 6 encounters against the New Zealand Warriors since 2021. However, the Knights have not won at Mount Smart Stadium since the year 2019. For the Warriors, man, I know it's just because RTS is at fullback, but this is, I mean, you've still got Nia Kore in there as well. This is a really good-looking Warriors side, man, on paper at the very least. Newcastle Knights, they couldn't really put away. I mean, they won in the end, but they really couldn't put away a Queensland Cup-esque Melbourne Storm outfit in that final game on Sunday afternoon footy. I think the Warriors are going to win this game 13+, door.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like you said, the Knights not having won in New Zealand since 2019 is huge. I think a big thing to like take into the equation. It just seems like they don't travel well over to New Zealand. The Warriors, they lost the final last year to the Warriors, didn't they, over in New Zealand? Yes. And that's when the Warriors came over here to Suncorp for that game. So, yeah, the Warriors, DWZ, has scored 9 tries in his past 8 games at Go Media Stadium. And another milestone, been plenty of milestones this week, Sam. Adam O'Brien will reach the milestone of 100 games as head coach.
Oh, Joe. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, that congrats to AOB. But, yeah, I'm with you, mate. Up the Waz. 13 yes, plus for me as well. I think that RTS at the back is going to be unbelievable. Look, I would love for him to just absolutely kill it that much that CNK ends up going to the centers and they keep RTS at fullback, because obviously Chance has played center before. I'm pretty sure he played for the Kiwis, I'm pretty sure, at in the centers. Yep. Am I correct there? Yep.
Pretty bloody sure myself.
Yeah, no. So I'm going with you, mate. I'm going the Waz, 13 plus, strong. Strong. I think if you look at the Waz thus far this season, look, they've only got 1 win to their name. But look, the games that they've lost, they've been well and truly in the contest. Like, obviously, yep. Round 1 against Cronulla just faded away. Like in the second half there, only played really for 1 half. But they didn't, like, get flogged. They just, I don't know, struggled a bit with the combinations there and were just very rusty and couldn't. Like, the Sharks just came straight over the top in that second half, dominated possession. And then obviously in round 2, wow, well, look, they were winning until like 30, 40 seconds to go until we saw one of the greatest finishes, not tries, finishes in NRL history from Xavier Coates. An absolute heartbreak for Warriors fans there. But look, they got 1 win, and I think they make it 2 this week.
Door, man. Just before we go on, Warren, somebody in the chat did mention a young man, and I do want to make mention of him too. I don't mean to sound so disrespectful towards the Newcastle Knights, because there are good players in that team still. They just all...
Oh, definitely. Most of them haven't hit form.
Most of them haven't hit form yet. Ponga, I thought he played his best game last weekend against the Melbourne Storm. He really carried the Knights to that victory. But what do you think about this, Dor? Kai Pierce-Paul, I think there's an argument to be made that he's the front runner for the Rookie of the Year so far. I think he's been rather impressive. Like, I think he's in a top 5 conversation for Rookie of the Year so far in the NRL.
Yeah, I think top 5 is, I think that's a fair shout. I've been personally very impressed with Lachlan Galvin from the West Tigers. He's been exceptional. But yeah, Pierce Paul has been great. Obviously, he's going that well that Dylan Lucas is obviously not making the starting 17. And he was the one that actually had the 12 jersey in round 1. So... look, yeah, if you're going towards fantasy wise, I know Wobblin's not a fantasy player, but to answer your question, Cooper, I'd definitely say that Pierce Paul is a buy. I'm personally getting him in my own side this week. But look, what about his other take though? Thinking Greg Eastwood a buy this week. I don't think Greg Eastwood has played for a few seasons, unfortunately.
I think I saw Adam Cuthbertson not play. I think he was on the sideline for the Mackay Cutters a couple of weeks ago. But I think Greg Eastwood did play a level of footy just recently. I think I saw some shady footy.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, it wasn't that
Gold Coast bloody sevens or nines thing in the preseason, was it? I don't think so. Like, no. Corey Norman and Seguiaro and stuff played in that, but I don't think I saw a big Greg Eastwood run out in that fixture.
But yeah, even though I don't play fantasy, I can tell you that Greg Eastwood would be a shocking decision.
awful decision. Vegemite saying that Titans need a half hooker, front row, edge, back rower, and 2 centers and a winger. So basically just needs a whole side. I don't think they need all that, in my honest opinion. I think the hookers are I don't mind Randall and Verrills myself. Look, Tanner Boyd's only young. He's only played, like, obviously last year was basically his first year, or basically of dominant, basically playing week to week of first grade. Foran's obviously getting a bit there, but like getting to the back end of his career. But look, I don't know. I think that the maybe a halfback. Look, if they get Ben Hunt, that would be huge if he was to leave the Dragons and maybe have like a couple of years at the back end of his career, because I think he's been exceptional for the Dragons, even though they obviously have had two poor performances. I thought he's still been like one of the Dragons' best players in those games. Yeah, look, I think that the back rowers I think are fine. I think Firma and Fifita they'll be great. I think it's just the half. If they can get a good half back, and then obviously Tino's gone now, so that's a bit of an issue for the rest of this season. But I think their pack's not too bad. I just think that they've obviously had a bad start to the season, and I think people are – look, it doesn't look good, but I think people are going a bit too extreme, I think. They've only played two games. It's early in the season. There's, plenty of chances for them to bounce back, but I do agree it does look very grim at the moment for them. But let's move on to the late game on Sunday. The Sharks taking on the Green Machine. Well, look, they lost last week, the Green Machine, but – there's just something with Canberra, Sam. Like, they just, I think a lot of, I can't remember again who said it. I'm sorry. I'm awful at remembering people's names who say quotes. But Canberra, they just bring you down to their level. Like, they bring you, and the contest, it's always a real scrappy contest. And, I feel like that's the best thing with Canberra. They bring you down to their level, and that's where they just win you. They bring you down. It's a hard, gritty contest, and that I just think that's why they win so many games that they not expected to, or like last week I didn't expect them to really be that close to the Warriors back at home, and obviously off the back of two really tough losses for the Warriors. But wow, like Green Machine, like you look at the Raiders, you look at their roster, there's a few star players, but it's not really littered with star players such as some other rosters. I just think that it's phenomenal what Ricky Stewart's doing. Again, we touch back to last year, what they did against Newcastle. They had, Horsburgh was out suspended. They had, I think Chris was like suspended as well. There were so many people that were out, and just that next man up mentality from the Raiders, I thought was just incredible. And they've just continued that from last year into this year. You got anything quickly on the Raiders, mate, before we get into the teams?
In the preseason, I thought the Raiders could finish anywhere from 5th to 15th. They were the team that I genuinely had no idea about. I had no idea where they would finish up, considering how they nearly caught everyone napping in that semi-final or elimination final last season. And it's still no less shocking. Like, well, it's still wild that they're doing what they're doing. It still doesn't shock me, though, in a sense. Like, they've just built up so much goodwill and credit in the rugby league community that's like, of course. It's like picking against the Melbourne Storm in round one. It's like, of course they're going to win. Of course the Raiders just getting stuck into the meat of it all. But there's something a little bit different about the Raiders this year, Doran. That's, I think their attack is actually looking a little bit better. They were not good at scoring points last season. This year so far, there's something about their attack where they're pretty deadly, bro.
Yeah, no, I think that I agree that I was, as you said, you and I had multiple chats before the season started, and obviously some people had the Raiders for the spoon. We were like, we didn't think that it was going to be that bad, but we, like you said, five to, anywhere from the 5 to 15 range. And boy, they've just hit the ground running. Like I said, continued from their form from last year. But anyway, let's get into the game. the Cronulla, the home side, the Sharkies. At fullback, we've got Will Kennedy. On the wings, we've got Muli Talo and Sione Katoa. A debutant, Sam, he's been killing it in New South Wales Cup. Had a few, I think he played one or maybe both games in the preseason challenge. Iroh is coming in for his debut in the centres with Ramian. Trindle and Hines, look, both of those players had very average games last week. So they'll be looking to bounce back in this clash. Look, the Sharks forward pack has been absolutely destroyed, unfortunately, with injuries. I think it was Royce Hunt last week who got ruled out while warming up to come on the sideline. It was just, and there was carnage. Finucane obviously had his HIA. He obviously kept on getting, was basically leaking. There was an, you know, he just couldn't stop the blood from flowing from his head, the poor fella. But no, and then I'm pretty sure another couple of injuries as well there. So Hazelton, he was one of their better players last weekend. Kafusi, the props for the Sharks. Brayley at hooker. Talakai moves from the centres to the back row with Teague Wilton. And Captain Cameron McInnes will be in for some big minutes this week, considering now Finucane is not playing. Now I'm expecting, for those fantasy players out there, I'm expecting, oh, I'd say like 60 to 70 minutes at least from McInnes this week. Daniel Atkinson comes onto the bench. Good on Adco. He actually went to my school that I went to. So I hope he has a ripping fixture on the weekend and gets some game time. Jackie Williams moves onto the bench with Billy Burns. And look, I'm going to probably absolutely murder this last name, but Tapua, I believe. Is how you pronounce that. Rounds out the bench for the Sharks. Move on to the Raiders, Sam. Jordan Rapana, wow, he's been good at the fullback position this season. I thought that Seb Chris or someone else was going to come in and then potentially move Rapana back to his wing. But his performances deserve him, like has shown that he deserves that number one jersey. Schiller and Xavier Savage. Come on to the wing. Look, I don't know if you saw it, Sam, but the only reason is Schiller is actually playing is, look, Hopewadi got a bit taken away in the kitchen. He decided to let him cook and unfortunately cooked himself. Mm. Oh, look, it's not good, but I hope Albert's all right and we'll see him back next week. But look, very... unique circumstances, Sam, for an injury in what is, let's say, already like the amount of big names that have been like that are out this week or being, you know, ruled out for this week is just, I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable. Yep. No, yeah, nod your head. Yeah. On to the centers for the Raiders. So we've got Tomoko and Seb Chris in the centers. We've got Strange and Fogarty. Wow, I've seen Vegemite and Toast, say that how good Fogarty has been. I think he's been incredible fantasy-wise and NRL-wise. He's just been, like, he's led, like, running that side so well, like Vegemite Toast is saying. And look, I think people were worried with the Raiders with the loss of Whiten, but I just think Fogarty's just stepped his game to the next level. And, you know, Strange obviously has only played a handful of games and, you know, he's obviously going to have a few games where he's hot and cold, but that doesn't mean the Raiders have missed a beat, even with Strange not playing the best in a couple of the games. Fogarty's just been able to make that transition for him really seamless. And I think that Strange is going to benefit from how well Fogarty is playing in the long term. Anyway, enough with the Fogarty hype. We'll move on. Papali and Tarpany are the props for the Raiders. Danny Levi at the hooker position. We've got Hudson Young and Elliot Whitehead in the back row. And Morgan Smithies keeps his spot at the lock position. Corey Horsbury again has been named in the extended reserves. So that, I guess, it could be one to monitor. We'll get Sam's thoughts on that if he thinks that Horsburgh could come in after playing New South Wales Cup last week. The bench for the Raiders is Starling, Mariota, Hoskins, and Pasami Solo. What have we got, Sam? I think we've got the Sharks are $1.60 favourites and the Raiders are $2.35. Thoughts on that, and what stats have you got for me?
I think that's a nice piece of meat on the bone for the Canberra Raiders, man. And the history between the two, 82nd match between the Sharks and the Raiders, and the Raiders lead it at 41-40. Nothing separates these teams by much. Last year, Cronulla got their first win against Canberra since the year 2018 after having lost 9 in a row against the Canberra Raiders. So the point there being is that the Raiders do not fear Shark Park in any way, shape, or form. Rapana, he is playing his 200th first grade game this weekend. And while I can see that the Sharks, oh, and congratulations to him. He's been immense. He's been an immense player for a long time now. While I can see that the Sharks have had a number of injuries, exclusively to their forward pack, I do look at Kyle Iro. This young man, there's a couple of content creators out there, or the one content creator out there under the name of Rugby League Outlaws, who are Cronulla Sharks fans, and they have been just knocking at the door every single
day. There's been some big hypes on him, man.
Kyle Iro, man, and it's finally going to happen, and I'm pretty keen to see how he goes down. I'm not sure if he's lining up on Timoko or Chris. I have a feeling that he's lining up on Timoko, which is a head-to-head matchup, which is just going to be huge. Kyle Iro was the 2023 New South Wales Cup Player of the Year, to put an exclamation mark on it. And I think I don't know how he's going to go, because every time I've seen him play, which is not a lot, admittedly, because I don't watch New South Wales Cup, but I've seen him play for the Cook Islands in the Rugby League World Cup and the Pacific Championships over the past couple of seasons. And while he's very, 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 very young and raw still, I just haven't seen enough from him yet. So I'm very in the wilderness with Mr. Iro this weekend. And the forward pack is definitely in favour of the Canberra Raiders. But boy, howdy, man. Elliot Whitehead, while the captain and while he is retiring this year, and while he does deserve to have the first crack at the jersey, Zach Hosking, mate, has been one of, if not the buy of the year so far. He's been absolutely exceptional, has been Zach Hosking. The only negative that I take out of last weekend's game for the Canberra Raiders is that I think the left edge there with Hudson Young, Timoko, and Xavier Savage, and Ethan Strange, it wasn't so much defensively. I think it was more, while I gave them a rap for their attack, and they've done really good this year, I think last weekend they stopped that momentum that they were on, unfortunately. They were just a little bit flat on that left edge, offensively, Hudson Young and Ethan Strange and Whitehead. So obviously expect a hell of a lot of attack coming down the way towards Ethan Strange. He's going to have to make some decisions with the likes of potentially a Wilton, and even worse, Talakai running at you, because Talakai, he's been the Cronulla Sharks' best all season long so far, Dor.
And Morgan Harper's worst nightmare.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I...
What are you going? Give me a tip, man.
I'm not taking the Sharks lightly, Dor. But I am going to take the Canberra Raiders. The value's too good. I think they've been the better side between the two clubs. I think they've been the better performed side all season long. They've got the forward pack and the Sharks. Yet they got absolutely destroyed last weekend against the Tigers. But the week before, they really struggled. That scoreline flatters the Sharks against the Bulldogs 25-6 a lot. It flatters them a lot. It's not like they played bad. The Bulldogs were really, really good the week before. So, yeah, maybe the Sharks are a little bit, I don't know, maybe there's something a little bit more underneath the rug sort of thing to discover about the Sharks. And I think the Canberra Raiders can do it. I'm going to tip the Raiders to win this game in a thriller, 1-12. And it's usually always, something always happens between the Sharks and Raiders, man. Like, it's not a rivalry game. It's not a rivalry game. But there's just a bit of spice between the Sharks and Raiders whenever they play.
Yeah, no. Oh, I guess some stats quickly that I have on this matchup. Well, I think you touched on, obviously, that the Raiders obviously won 9 of their past 10 against the Sharks, like you said. Sharks have won 5 of their past 7 at PointsBet. Mulitalo has scored 14 tries in his past 11 games at PointsBet Stadium. But look, you can give me all those stats. I'm with you, mate. I'm going Raiders 1-12. I think that there's too many outs for mine for the Cronulla side, especially in that forward pack. That forward pack, like you said, for me is just overwhelming in the Raiders' favor, should I say. And I don't know. I think the Sharks will be better than they were last week. And they obviously, they do play well at home, obviously not against the Raiders, but speaking of such, they like the greater scheme of things, they do play well at home. But look, yeah, I'm with you 110%, mate. I'm going the Raiders, I think 1-12. For me, it's hard to tip the Raiders 13 plus because, like I said, I think that they bring sides down to them and it's a real scrappy contest and that's what they do really well. So I'm thinking, yeah, 1-12. For me with the Raiders, I'm with you, Semi. We'll just quickly got some questions here. Fogarty runs that side so well. Yeah, he's been incredible. The resurgence of Rapana and Big Papi Sam. I agree with Vegemite Toast. It has been very good to watch. Should I buy Iroh instead of figuring out the 6 red dots I have this week? Look, I don't know. I think it's wait and see with Iroh. Players like Iroh, Campbell, etc. Those sort of players, you can definitely wait and see, give them a week. And obviously, we don't know with those Sharks players eventually coming back if Iroh will keep his spot in first grade. So he's obviously going to, like Sam said, he's a highly touted youngster, but we really need to see him really play really well from the get-go, or otherwise if he doesn't start very well, then he's not going to be in that side for basically the distant future. Might be there for, as I said, for a couple of weeks, but not to the distant future. And Vegemite Toast has got Sharks to bounce back this week. Hines to not kick it out in the full. Yeah, he did kick it out on the full a few times last week. Well, let's get to the last game. We've already, buddy, on the debut live stream, gone for 1:17. We are absolutely kicking here. But let's finish strong on the Easter Monday clash, Sam. We've got footy on the Monday. How good?
How good.
All right, let's finish it strong here with the Parramatta Eels. Look, there's a few outs here, but let's get to it. Clint Gutherson is the fullback for the Eels. We've got Sivo and Russell on the wing. So Sivo back for his first game after that horrible tackle in the preseason challenge. Penasini and Morgan Harper goes back to his preferred position in the centres because, Kyle Felt, Corey Oates, who let him cut in off their wings. Oh, God help me. Morgan Harper is one of the worst. I've never seen so many people just unleash fury down that edge. Back-to-back weeks where he's just in the middle of no man's land and these wingers just wide open straight through down that side. But hopefully he goes better back in the centers because, look, don't get me wrong, obviously Moses is out for a fair while, 8 to 12 weeks, I'm pretty sure. Yep. So they could potentially run something, this lineup for a little while, and potentially unless they move Brendan Hands into the halves there. But look, I'm thinking that Harper, with how well this man who has been named at 6, Blaise Talangi, played on the weekend, you've got Bailey Simonson, who's not playing either, who's been named on the extended bench, who could potentially return, but I don't think so this week, maybe next week. Morgan Harper, I think, is in some trouble to keep his spot. Anyway, Dylan Brown moves to the 7 position. I think quickly, just on fantasy-wise of things, Dylan Brown's numbers when he moves into the halves without Moses is goes very well fantasy-wise. I think averages in the 60s. So that's definitely one to monitor there for you coaches. RCG and Junior Paulo are the props with Joey Lussick at hooker. Sean Lane and Bryce Cartwright is the back row with Hopgood. I love my man Jermaine Hopgood. So does the rugby league guru at lock. Luca Moretti, Madison, Offa Hengawi and Kelma Tuolungi round out the bench there for the Eels. Don't be surprised if, I'm pretty sure it's nearly happened every week, if Joe Offa Hengawi starts and Junior Paulo goes to the bench, because I'm pretty sure it's definitely happened the last 2 weeks. I just wish Brad Arthur would stop everyone with the confusion and just name them there. But unfortunately, we'll just let BA do his thing, eh, Sam?
Yes, sir.
The Tigers were incredible last week. And I'm pretty sure they are unchanged. Jareem Buller was exceptional last week. Staines and Junior Tupu, I think quickly Solitude actually said, thinking of buying Charlie Staines this week. I really like his upside of a rejuvenated Tigers side. Look, you're not going to buy Charlie Staines this week, Solitude. He is not a fantasy player. Look, he might be the Forbes Ferrari IRL, but fantasy-wise, just not it. Not it. Anyway, for Tape and Ollum, wow, Sam, I don't know what your thoughts were on Justin Ollum, but I was very impressed with how he performed last weekend.
He was great. Yeah. No, he was great. It's just, it will be interesting to see how long he can keep it up for, that's all.
Yeah, no, and I think that it looked like they worked on his defense as well, I think. But obviously, Cronulla were very poor. So I agree with you, obviously, like how he can keep it up, if he can keep it up, as well as defensively against, you know, sides that obviously don't absolutely crap the bed like, unfortunately, Cronulla did last week. Lockie Galvin, my man for the, like Sam was saying, Rookie of the Year. He's my top five easy at the moment for me. And Aiden Caesar, I thought he controlled the game beautifully last week with his kicking game. I think he'll be that will be the 6-7 combination for the Tigers for a few weeks to come. The props are Clemmer and Utukamanu. Utukamanu was very good last week. I was very impressed with his performance. One of his best games, I thought, in an NRL Tigers jersey. And Apisai Korosau, wow. He has just been unbelievably good fantasy-wise and NRL-wise. Like, wow, he's leading from the front. I'm pretty sure he had a gastro last week and still came out and delivered that performance. Was very, an inspirational performance for the Tigers. And I think that those younger players like Galvin and also, well, Caesar's not young, but Caesar also, and post-game press conference, or post-game interview, should I say, on the field at Leichhardt, said that they were absolutely taken away with how well Appy's leading the side on and off the field. Continue going strong, Appy, because you're in my fantasy team, so I need you to keep kicking, mate. So keep doing well. IPAP, Isaiah Papali'i and John Bateman are the back rowers, and Fanua Pole is the lock. Jaden Sullivan, Alex Seyfarth, Asu Kapoa, and Samuela Fainu round out the bench. And just quickly to touch on the odds before we get some stats from Sam the Man, $1.49 for the Eels and $2.64 for the Tigers. What do you got for me, Sam?
47th match between the Eels and the Tigers, and it's Parra who lead 29-16 with one draw. Eels, they are 11-2 versus the Tigers since the year 2017.
Wow.
Wests, they have not defeated the Eels on a Good Monday since 2022. This will be the 10th edition of the Good Monday clash between the Eels and the Tigers. It's actually kind of competitive. It goes 5-4 in favor of the Parramatta Eels. And since 2021, there's been a win-loss pattern that has emerged. So it's gone Eels, ooh, Tigers, Eels, Tigers.
Yeah.
It's actually due to fall on the Tigers this Monday after the Eels won it last year. So if you believe in a bit of hoodoo sort of stuff,
yeah,
there is a win-loss pattern. There is a bit of a win-loss pattern happening there. Yep. So when you look at the Good Friday clash between the Bunnies and the Bulldogs, that's very lopsided. This Good Monday clash between the Eels and Tigers is actually pretty competitive throughout its history. Seyfarth and Charlie Staines play their 50th first grade games each this Monday. So congratulations to both of them. Alex Tawal is the man that has been replaced. So he's out and in comes Asu Kapoa. I like Asu Kapoa a lot, man. He offers a different dimension of attack. While Tawal is a great prop, Kapoa offers something different. And I feel like we are all in danger of being on that hype, excitement train of the West Tigers, bro. Because still, that forward pack for the Parramatta Eels, man, is pretty strong. It's really strong, man. And young man Lachlan Galvin, or young men, I should say, Lachlan Galvin and Blaise Talangi, that is the key matchup of this weekend for sure. Talangi being put under the bright lights immediately from the get-go, and the same can be said for Lachie Galvin as well. So the other question too I've got is that young Fa'atape, Solomona Fa'atape, I think he will, but if I'm right, he could be looking at the Brown-Sean Lane combination all day long. I think Fa'atape, if it's not Sean Lane, it's going to be Bryce Cartwright. It's going
It'll be interesting to really see Sam crucial. Quigley if Cartwright actually plays with that.
That's true as well. No, you're right, too.
Yeah,
no,
but
he's out.
He's out.
Yeah, no, and it hasn't been updated yet. So Bryce Cartwright. Oh, wow, that's true.
Well, see, the thing was, is that, someone could have announced it today. I was busy at work, but the
No, he's out.
Yeah, because he was originally saying he was out for 4 to 6 weeks, and then he was named. This came out like the Monday night or the Tuesday, and then they said that he was out for like 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. And then he was still named. And then he was saying that he was going to try and play through the pain and get needles. But I don't think that they were saying that it was too difficult to think. So I don't think he'll play.
It's a fractured rib, bro. No, you're right. It hasn't been updated yet. So I imagine that Ryan Madison will slot into that role. Well, still the same thing for Fa'atape.
Or Hopgood moves to second row and Madison goes to lock as well.
I don't know if you'd be moving Hopgood from lock, in my opinion.
No. I'm just saying they could do it. They've done it before, but I do agree with you. I think Madison goes to the second row.
I think maybe that should make way for...
Or Kelmer.
Yeah, that's true too, but I think it should make way for either Ogden or Makatoa. I'm a fan of what Makatoa does or has done since his debut. Also, since his debut a couple of weeks ago, who's also in contention for Rookie of the Year, in my opinion, already, Samuel Afainu. The Afainu brothers shifting over from Manly. And Samuel Afainu, bro, he was the New South Wales under-19s captain last season. And boy, howdy, he's shown some ticker in his first couple of games, man. He's been a great shining light for the West Tigers. I still don't know who I want to tip in this game. Like, I fear they were all getting a bit too excited about the West Tigers. I really
we're just happy to see him back, Sam. We would like the NRL is the NRL.
I am happy.
The NRL is obviously honestly a better league with the Tigers doing well. We all just want them to go better because they've obviously been struggling for so long.
All right, so. Door.
Yeah, where are you going?
I'm going to go the West Tigers. I'm going to give in. I'm not convinced. I'm really scared about it too. And I look at Fa'atape as a massive blaring light, you know, as someone who might be in danger of being peppered all game. But Mike Sivo will be as rusty as a steel wheel from the 1960s. What the hell did I just even say? And And Blaise Talangi in at 5'8".
You're thinking the Moses loss could hurt them. And
Moses' kicking game in is an almighty loss. Aiden Caesar does not have a bad boot himself.
No, he's great. Great kicking game.
Look, Blaise Talangi proved to everybody that he can or that he could do well, great even, in first grade by running over the top of Turbo last weekend. But I just haven't
in the seen
anything of him. And that's exactly right. Yeah. He's in the centers. Now he's playing in 5'8". The bloke's head is on a swivel. And while the same thing can be said about Lockie Galvin, who's been impressive too, I just have to fall on the side of the West Tigers only just, man. And plus the value on the Tigers as well is a bit is a bit too much to not take.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair, Sam. I think just on my side of things, I think Sivo is obviously back. He's 8 tries in 8 games against the Tigers. Your tip of the Tigers are chasing back-to-back wins, Sam, for the first time since round 10 last year.
Yep.
So they've had a fair spell. And look, this is why I'm tipping in. The Eels at Combank, I am always very hard to sway me against the Eels at Combank. That won nine of their past 11 games at Combank, and the Tigers have only won one of their past 5 games at Combank. So I'm leaning towards the Eels, even with these players out. I'm not by 13 plus, which some people might think. I'm going the Eels by 1-12. I think it will be a good game on Easter Monday. Have I swayed you already? Have I?
A little bit, mate, because you're right. Parramatta, they just play differently at Combank, don't they? And you're right, bro. The Tigers' record at Combank is not crash hot. I'm going to stick with it. I've got to stick with it.
Stick with it.
A venue shouldn't make us the tip. It shouldn't make
Not making the whole tip. It's just a good reason why.
It's a bloody good reason, bro. Yeah, I'm going to go the Tigers 1-12.
1-12, all right. Well, look, Sam, we're 1 hour and 30 deep in the opening live stream for the All Our Club. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. I hope we can do this or potentially even maybe do a commentate together a game or something. We'll think of some ideas to keep this collab kicking. I appreciate all the fans from both pages that have come on and left your comments and watched the stream. Vegemite and Toast, hats off to you. You're definitely the MVP tonight, in my opinion. I'm not sure what Sam's thinking, but he's been very active in the chat all night, so he's definitely my MVP. But if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you go and follow Sam's pages. He's on Instagram, YouTube, what else? Twitter as well, X, should I say. Wobbling Jaw Sports on all of them.
I'll just dive in here, mate.
Yeah.
Dor, genuinely, thank you so much for the opportunity. I've really enjoyed my time tonight, mate. I've been chomping at the bit to talk about this round all week. I'm really happy that a lot of people turned out, and I'm super stoked that we just got a compliment then as well about how we went tonight. So thank you so much for the opportunity. I hope this page continues to evolve, develop, and get stronger along with your teammates as well that you usually do the damn thing with. And if I am new to you, the viewer and or listener, please consider coming over to check out my YouTube channel, Instagram, Twitter, and that's it. Just those three, Wobble and Draw Sports. And I'm also
some absolute rib snorter videos that will make you laugh. I'm not gonna lie. Gets me in stitches when I see Sam's some of his uploads.
Thank
but
you,
continue, mate. Continue. Sorry, I just had to give my 2 cents because some of the videos do really get bloody watch you go make me laugh.
Yo, dude. Yo. And just this Monday with the Eels and Tigers game, Dor alluded to it before, but I'm going to be doing a commentary live stream reaction to the game with a fellow content creator named Hold the Ball. That we usually do it with, or I do it with. So, please, that's when I'm doing more content on my next piece of content. So watch out for that one. But again, please, if you haven't already, and if you are new to this All Out Club, please subscribe, man. I've felt very welcome. And I can't wait to have a slab of horse meat this Friday night, bro. Go the Cowboys. Cowboys.
We'll have to meet up, mate, at the game or something and take a buddy photo and send it in the Instagram and or on the YouTube or whatever. Do something, post it. Obviously, one of us is going to be in mourning and the other one very happy.
It'll be a photo of me throwing you over the edge, mate, from level 2. That's what the photo will be of.
Yeah. Fair enough, mate. Look, I think the Broncos still get it done, but it's going to be tough. It is going to be tough with these players out. But look, you need to get to bed. I bloody need to go have some dinner. Well, we both need to go have some dinner. Hopefully in the future we can get this going a bit earlier. But look, yeah, if you guys haven't done so already, like Sam said, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're trying to get out and put more stuff out week to week now, not just fantasy related, but obviously like we did tonight, we did touch on some fantasy side of things with some players, but more also into the NRL side of things as well. We should have our buy, hold, sell podcast for fantasy should be out in the morning. The boys recorded that this afternoon, but obviously with this piece happening tonight, we didn't want to take away from that. So we'll release that in the morning. So stay tuned for that. And that's it, Sam. I really do appreciate this, mate. And I will see you on Friday night. Go the Broncos. Thanks, and you say go those Cowboys. And I will. We'll see you next time, mate.
Thank you, Dor, for the opportunity. Thanks all out, club.
That's all right. Happy Easter, everyone. See you guys. Happy Easter, yes. Great work, Sam. Good thing to touch on. See you, everyone.